What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Friday morning. We are taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Just reading some interesting quotes from the Pistons GM on the drafting of one of the Thompson twins we talked about earlier. I think Halle Berry is pretty in church or at the grocery store. Talking about the evaluation process. When you see something elite, you know it, was his point. There you go.
Hey, man, I like Troy Weaver more now. I think he might be the GM to finally get a Detroit team out of the gutter.
I think Halle Berry is pretty in church or at the grocery store. It's good. Two specific locations.
Halle Berry and the Thompson twins. Absolutely both elite.
Just absolutely elite. Thank you to Troy Weaver, Pistons GM, for that golden nugget today. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not much, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, over-under, there's like 55 questions that Jared asked you yesterday about DeAndre Hopkins. Are you tired of talking about DeAndre Hopkins yet?
Well, you know, I understand it's the topic of the – it's the flavor of the month, I guess you could say. So it happens, you know, and I think the good thing is there's a lot of talk nationwide, you know, about the Titans. So that's always good for our work.
Yep, no question about that. So, TD, in all seriousness, I do have a Treylon Burks question for you because we were looking at the numbers the other day. He played 11 games last year. Obviously, we know the injuries that took place, and we'll see what he brings to the table this year. But what do you think are fair expectations for him? And I've got a number in my head just in terms of receptions, and that number is 70. Do you think that that is fair or unfair for Treylon Burks?
No, I think that's fair, especially looking at the way they are probably going to utilize him and just the passing game overall. That, you know, injection of Charles London, I think, is going to help. And obviously Tim Kelly and what he's done in the past and in his passing game. So, yeah, I think 70 receptions is fair. And, you know, I would say 60 to 70 for 1,000, if not close to 1,000, is a number that you could expect.
Okay, I guess I'm going to bring it back to Hopkins because I have nothing else. So let's talk Hopkins TD as it relates to this receiver room. We were talking earlier about the receiver room. I mean, is it, you know, I know D-Mace this week, you know, someone on the tight side was like, the receiver room is trash. Like, well, it's not trash. There's a lot of unproven in it, right?
Right.
I know a lot of people are throwing out the, Vrabel had more, career catches or something. Is that right? Yeah. Or more career touchdown catches. I mean, that's a pretty good stat. Apart from Hopkins, who in this room do you think is most likely to, I guess, surprise people? And who should be most nervous, you know, if they were to sign DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I think Kyle Phillips is the one that's going to surprise. I think he's going to be a high-volume receptions guy, and it's all situational. You know, I think he's going to be somebody on third downs and, you know, in those short yardage type of situations where it's not short yardage, but that like 3rd and 6, you know, that 3rd and 7, that type of situation where you need a guy to create separation really fast and get the catch for you. I think that's where he's going to excel. So if you have somebody that will surprise, I would say him. As far as like who should be nervous, I would say probably like, you know, the bottom of the rotation guys, because, you know, it's going to come down to, okay, am I going to keep a 6th receiver that can also play special teams, or am I going to keep an extra at some other position? Because, you know, they're going to carry a lot of tight ends. You know, it's more likely to carry three quarterbacks. So I think those bottom guys, you know, Racy McMath, Colton Dow, those guys I think might have to be a little bit nervous if Hopkins is signed.
TD, we were talking yesterday about the OC spot with Tim Kelly coming in and, you know, realizing that there's still a lot of question marks with the roster itself, and it's more about the players, but just how much of a difference an upgraded OC could be. And we'll see whether or not Tim Kelly's an upgrade and to what level he's an upgrade. But how important do you think that part of it is, and the feel for the game that we talk about that you can't really explain, you just kind of know it when you see it. Yeah. If he's better and it's a significant upgrade from that standpoint, how much of a tangible impact does that have on the offense, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's critical, being able to layer plays and knowing to put something out there and then work off of it is important. I think, you know, scheming guys open, right? You know, using bunch formation, switch releases and those type of things to create that instant separation. That's something else that will make a huge difference. But the biggest thing is just those in-game adjustments, right? Moving as the game goes along and seeing what the defense is doing and tricking them. And I think making them think and do different things. And that's why it was so fun to watch Coach Arthur Smith, because you'll see him use motion to put his guys in a better situation, you know, you'll see, or to make the defense show a little bit more what they're doing. I mean, he used a lot of motion on almost every play, you know, so those were some of the things that he used to do, and it would be feel for the game, even just like in the middle of the play, you know, so that's something that could definitely help out.
TD, you talked Andre Dillard for a long time. You end up being exactly right. He ends up coming here on a deal. He's going to get a crack to be this team's left tackle. And I know that the spring is very limited. But from what you saw of him in the past few weeks, how do you feel about his, you know, just his ability and even talking to him to take on this job and to kind of prove that he is a starting quality player in this league?
Yeah, I think he's capable of doing it. I mean, you watch. He got everything you could ask for from Arden Key. You know, Arden Key is something, you know. So that was a good opportunity for him to, you know, go against a guy like that and get better. But I definitely think that he's capable of being a starter. He has the first-round sticker on him. So the talent is clearly there. So it's just going to be a matter of him coming in and continuing to do what he did in OTAs and minicamp and really turn it on when the pads get put on.
TD, how versatile do you think they could be with Chig Okonkwo? And what I mean by that is just the different ways that he can line up, the different ways that you can give him the ball. How much of a priority do you think that'll be for Tim Kelly this year?
I think that's going to be huge. That's going to be a big part of, you know, what they do, especially if they don't get Hopkins. They're going to have to really rely on those guys. So I definitely believe Okonkwo is someone. And you look at what Tim Kelly has done in the past. You know, you've seen him have tight ends in the backfield, catch passes out of the backfield, you know, two tight ends in the backfield and one on the line of scrimmage. So that's, you know, one of the things that he does with 13 personnel. So I think it's going to be a big opportunity for Okonkwo. And we've seen him be able to carry the football, you know, run, and that's something else. And I would imagine they're going to have to incorporate a lot of that into the offense to really maximize his capability.
A rookie Josh Wiley compared with, well, fans were all over him, but, you know, a veteran Jeff Swaim, a guy, it's not like the guy didn't do anything good for the Titans. What's the trade-off there?
Well, I think you're getting a better pass catcher and a guy who is, you know, more capable in the slot, like if you flex him and those type of things. That's probably the trade-off to me. And I think, you know, at 6'6", 6'7", in that ballpark, he's clearly going to be a red zone threat. You know, he's someone you could just throw it up there, you know, back shoulder and let him go get it. You know, so I think that's really the advantage. In my opinion, the trade-off for Jeff Swaim is really Trevon Wesco. I think that's where you upgrade. Like, you got a true blocking tight end, a mostly blocking tight end, but he's probably the best, if not one of the best, at that kind of situation, right? You know, at that utilization, you know, as a blocker. Wesco, go back and watch the Bears. You know, he had a huge impact on their leading the league in rushing.
So, TD, we know the division last year. Houston was terrible. Indy was bad. They were picking four overall. Titans lost seven in a row. Jacksonville won the division. As we sit here today on June 23rd, do you think this division is better this year? Do you think it's worse? You got two rookie quarterbacks potentially starting in Indy and Houston. How do you view the division as a whole right now?
I think it's more promising. I think every team has the potential to surprise. I'll put it that way. You have this influx of young quarterback talent. That's something. And obviously, you know, Tannehill is still there. So, yeah, I think it has a lot of promise. I don't know that it got better or worse, but it definitely got more promising.
So you mentioned earlier the three quarterbacks. Is that what you would expect right now, that that they'll ultimately end up going with three guys on the active roster?
Yeah, I think that's likely. I think that's the likely case, because it would be interesting seeing them like give up on Willis, you know, because we know Levis isn't going anywhere. Obviously, Tannehill is going to be the starter, but I think they're going to continue to work to develop Willis, and that would mean, obviously, that you're keeping three quarterbacks. And really it comes down to, okay, is that third quarterback more important than that extra gunner on kickoff team, you know, on punt team, or that extra, you know, L or R1 on kickoff team?
So I figured, you know, before the spring, I figured, well, they may be in a position where they can expose Willis, you know, cut him, and then they still have him back on the practice squad. If they were to do that, based on the information that's out there right now about Willis, do you think that someone else would grab him for sure?
I think someone else would grab him, because he's someone that, you know, some people obviously had a first-round grade on, but more importantly, you know, he was one of the top graded quarterbacks in that draft class. So we're only talking about, you know, a couple years ago. So I think someone would probably grab him and feel like they could develop him and, you know, work him into their program somehow. So, yeah, I definitely feel that way.
Well, TD, thanks for being with us today. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
For sure. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Join the Nashville Predators 25th anniversary block party presented by Tractor Supply for those who enjoy living life out here. This Monday through Wednesday, Music City welcomes a full week of events featuring the NHL Awards 25th anniversary concert and NHL draft. Fans can enjoy the free party featuring live music, red carpet walks, games, alumni autographs, food trucks, activations, and more. Don't miss the incredible week of events starting Monday as the Preds celebrate 25 years. You can find more information on NashvillePredators.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Nick Frazier here with you on this Friday morning. Thanks to TD for being with us in the last segment. And it is really interesting. I mean, you bring up tight end, and Chig is the first guy that comes to mind, and I'm really excited to watch him play this year. I am also interested to see what they do with Whiteley. Like, I mean, he is a, you know, you're talking about a later round pick, so it's a little bit different. But, you know, he turned some heads at rookie camp, turned some heads at mini camp. And, you know, Whiteley, if he's a better pass catching option than Swaim, it would be nice to have a couple of guys out there that could catch the ball and you felt good about maybe what they could do with it after. I know I'm going to lead to some Titans fans Swaim bashing on the text line here.
Mm-hmm.
But not trying to do that. I'm just saying I'm excited. I'm excited about Josh Whiteley, too. I am. I watched some tape of him.
Well,
went in Jared Stillman film room, and he looks good.
Did you?
Yeah.
Jared let you into the film room. Wow.
Door was unlocked.
Usually there's a, like a, the, what the heck is that thing?
Latch?
No, yeah, like, it's like when you keep trying to get into a club. Like, God damn. You got a red carpet event, and you got the
bouncer?
You got the rope.
Sure.
What is that called?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, it's like the red thing, and then you unhook it and let people in.
It's a rope. I don't know.
There's a name for it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that landed. You know, Josh Whiteley looked pretty good running around.
Hope Josh Whiteley plays better than that went.
Jeez. That was Firkser 2021-like or whatever. Speaking of tight ends, Titans past. But Whiteley looked good running around. He does, I think, and it is interesting. If you have someone that you can flex out and you can do some things with him and Chig, that's good. Now, the question to me then is, okay, how are they both when it comes to, you know, going in line and blocking and making it really hard for defenses to get a beat on things. And he's a rookie. I mean, I don't know. And I have no clue based on, you know, the spring. We're going to see when pads go on. That is what you lose with Jeff Swaim. I'm sorry to bring it up. And I know someone now in the text line is going to say he was trash and never blocked anyone because he missed one huge block in Seattle in 2021. It was bad.
It was.
He had some bad moments, okay? Don't get me wrong, but he was a reliable blocker, and those are good at tight end too. I think definitely they needed to upgrade on Swaim. So if Wiley is that, that's a nice add. You just hope if you're the Titans that as a rookie he can be – you know, ready to be strong at the point of attack, because you know, if you've got a couple like, and he's not this, but if your tight ends are all like sort of like half slot receivers, sometimes that doesn't help you in other ways that you need tight ends to help. And we know how this team likes to play.
Was rope and stanchion the term that you're searching for?
I guess it's just what Will has submitted. I mean,
stanchion barricade.
We don't need to.
What about that?
Yeah, we don't need to stanchion. I mean, that's a cool word and all. I guess it's just the rope, right? But
the red velvet rope?
Maybe that's the velvet. Maybe is it the velvet rope?
It is a velvet rope. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Velvet rope. All right. Thank you. Okay, fine.
Because it has the metal clasp on it that are gold. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Velvet rope. Thank you. Brett. Okay. All right. Good.
Do better next time.
Here we go. Huffy, Brett, Nick, thank you.
Robbie, pound sand.
Yeah.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, I'm sorry about yesterday. I dropped the call. I must have been in a bad area. I had some other things to say, but I started to call you back, but I said I'll wait till this morning. But, hey, how y'all doing? First of all, Joe and Robbie.
We're good, buddy.
We're good.
Hey, Joe, I agree with you, what you said earlier about D-Hop. I think he's going to end up with the Kansas City Chiefs or maybe the Buffalo Bills. I don't think he's coming to Nashville. I agree with you on that right there. As far as their wide receiver, but it's not really a great wide receiver room. Burks, I believe he will have a pretty decent year. He possibly could get 1,000 yards.
I think we're losing Mark.
We lost.
Mark's in a bad area again. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, there you go. We got you back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man, I'm a provider today. Correct this mistake. Good gracious. But, I agree with TD saying that Burks could probably have a big season this year and stuff. 1,000 yards, 60, 70 receptions or whatnot. But Joe and Robbie, I want y'all to think about something. I'm going to call y'all Tuesday. I got a huge rant that I need to give to talk about.
Okay.
But I will say my rant. I'm going to give a little hint right quick. My rant is about a certain guy that comes on at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Monday through Friday.
Okay.
I got a huge rant.
I'm looking forward to it.
I want all the listeners, the texters, I want them all to show up and text in about this and stuff because I got a huge rant that I need to get off my chest.
Coming on Tuesday.
Coming on Tuesday, Robbie.
Right.
I'm off on Sunday, Monday, so I probably won't holler at you Monday, but I'll definitely be on the horn calling you Tuesday.
All right. We're looking forward to that. Mark in Nashville, our guest. We lost him again, but we're looking forward to the rant coming up on Tuesday.
I look forward to that, but again, I got to say, I mean, at some point, I need Mark to directly confront Jared, right?
Well, maybe this is the first step. This could be the rant Tuesday, and we're kind of laying the groundwork.
Okay.
And then it comes after that.
I mean, I would love to listen to Mark yelling at Jared.
I would, too.
Yeah.
So I think
Mark's bringing the energy today.
Well, Mark brings the energy every day. Every member of our text line is Team Mark. No question about it.
Yes, he is the favorite of the text
line. He is the favorite of the text line. No question about that. So what about – we're going to get to Treylon Burks here in just a second. But I'll throw the same question that you threw at TD back to you. Who do you think is the most likely to surprise in the wide receiving room? We sit here today, and his answer was Kyle Phillips. Who do you think is the most likely to surprise for the Titans wide receiving room?
Racy McMath.
I knew you were going there.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that's why you asked. And I'm not saying, oh, Racy McMath, here he comes with 50 catches for 700 yards or anything like that. But I absolutely reject the idea that, and I know that Vrabel rejects this too, the idea that last year in camp was just a couple plays where Caleb Farley fell down and looked bad. He did it in a preseason game too. He did it more than a couple plays against Caleb Farley. He did it against people other than Caleb Farley. He did it against Christian Fulton for sure on one play. And again, it's camp and all that stuff. I mean, some things translate. We saw Kyle Phillips all camp last year, and it's like, wow, is he cooking people? Well, go back to game one. It was the same thing. And then he got hurt, and he was messing up punts, and we all know what happened. 2 years ago, I brought up Anthony Firkser. Oh, I could find a sweet Athletic comment I wrote about Anthony Firkser winning. Because, I mean, Kevin Byard's out there. What the heck did Byard – what did he compare?
He said,
compare him to, like, Travis Kelce or something? Or
he's called him one of the top tight ends in the league.
Or I think he might have said, like, he's going to have, like, a Delanie Walker-type season. Yeah. Something like that. Anthony Firkser looked really good. Now, granted, remember, Anthony Firkser did hurt his knee late in camp, and I think there's definitely a correlation there. But still.
Didn't A.J. call, like, Racing McMath, like, Julio Jones light or something like that?
Yeah, he said he could have a Julio Jones, like, career or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying that. I am saying that I think that Racing McMath, before he got hurt last year, was actually making big strides. And yeah. I think he will be this team's – he will be like Khalif Raymond. So, again, Khalif Raymond, we talked about it. It's amazing. What a Khalif Raymond show it's been. Hey, it must be June 23rd. Khalif Raymond, you know, 9 catches. We know in 18 he has the huge touchdown against the Ravens. In the next 2 years, 9 for 170. Nothing great, but it's, you know, 19 a catch. The next year, 9 for 187, 20.8 a catch. You know, a 61-yarder, a 52-yard. You know, a guy who can here or there come on the field and you can try to take advantage of a matchup and get behind the defense. Take the top off the defense. And I think Racing McMath will be that guy, but also – I saw some things with this offense, with McMath this spring, where the idea of maybe here and there, if you get the ball in his hands quicker, he is big, he is fast. So he's the guy. It's not going to be something, he's not going to be high volume, but I think some people are completely dismissing him, and there is talent there. There you go.
What's a surprise season for Racing McMath?
So I'd say something like, you know, like about 20 to 25 catches.
That would be a lot.
Yeah, about 20 to 25 catches, 350 to 400 yards.
Okay. All right.
So that's, I mean, again, it's not made, but if you get that and you can sprinkle that in, that actually does make a difference.
It does. He's got 4 catches for 48 yards in his career.
I understand that, Paul Kaharsky.
Oh, you're talking about a guy with 4 career catches, huh?
Like every time he gets brought up. I know. He also missed all of last year. And his rookie year, he was a gunner. So he's played 2 years. He was
5
raw.
Games last year.
Okay. It's fine.
I'm rooting for him.
Hate on him.
I'm rooting for him. I hope he does well.
I mean, who else would it be? I mean,
I don't know.
It's also, like, who else could I pick?
Colton Dowell,
yeah. You could pick Colton Dowell. I like Colton Dowell. I think Colton Dowell's a nice 7th-round pick. But right now, like, let's say they get Hopkins. Well, they don't even have to get Hopkins. But let's just say it's McMath against Colton Dowell to make this team.
Yep.
I think McMath has a little bit too much potential to make the big play here and there to not be on this team.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. 1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans wide receivers coming up next, including something on Treylon Burks that I really want to get Joe's thoughts on. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Symphony perform the music of Led Zeppelin at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on June 25th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Symphony perform the music of Led Zeppelin at Ascend Amphitheater coming up later this weekend, June 25th, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we had Adam Vingan on Monday as you were rolling across a rainy field, and I guess you were back at that point from Bonnaroo, but recovering.
Yeah, basically. I still had the Bonnaroo like mud on my legs and whatever. Yeah.
You're doing good. But we had Adam Vinion on the show, and we discussed Treylon Burks and what his expectations should be this year. What are fair expectations for Treylon Burks, and what does that look like numerically? So a year ago, played 11 games. He had the injuries that he dealt with, 33 catches, 444 yards, and a touchdown. And I was kind of looking at what his year could be this year. And we'll see. You know, it's hard for me to sit here today on June 23rd and predict the health. But assuming he plays 15, 16, 17 games, somewhere in that neighborhood, I said 70 catches is what I'm looking for. I need 70 catches from Treylon Burks this year. I mean, for a guy that's a quote-unquote number one wide receiver or, you know, even a number two in today's game, that's not that much to ask for. Like, I went around the league. Drake London had 72 catches last year as a rookie. I mean, you can go into T. Higgins, and I realize the offense is different in Cincinnati. But T. Higgins had 74 catches last year. He's the number two guy in Cincinnati. So, it's 70 catches, I feel like, is not a whole lot to ask for. But I think that would be great for this Titans offense if he hit that number, especially if he went along with what TD said and ended up with close to 1,000 yards in addition to it. Like T. Higgins last year, 74 catches, 1,029 yards, 7 touchdowns. I mean, I think you'd sign up for that right now if you're the Titans when it comes to Treylon Burks. So my question to you is that fair to expect 70 catches from Treylon Burks this year? And if not, what do you think are fair expectations for him as he enters into year two?
I think that's a good number. I'm going back to last year. You mentioned some of it. Like, so the cutoff of, I mean, my goodness, Ramondre Stevenson had 69 catches last year.
Yeah.
But Adam Thielen had 70. Josh Palmer had 72. Chris Olave, rookie with the Saints, very good rookie. 72 for 1042, by the way.
Yep.
That's pretty solid. Like you said, London. Leonard Fournette had 73 catches. Now I'm going down the rabbit hole of some of these catch numbers, and it's wild. But, no, I think that that's about right. So that would be – let me see if I can do some math on that. That's about four a game, right? You know, first of all, that I think if he has 70 catches, I think that does speak to availability being good, and that's a huge thing. I mean, if just him on the field or him not on the field for this offense – with all the limitations we talk about every week and really every day, that alone is a difference maker. So that's a good marker in terms of participation. And, you know, I think this offense is going to change some. I think it will be a little bit balanced. I think it'll tilt a little bit more toward, you know, a closer split with pass run. We've talked about how some backs being involved. I think Tyjae Spears is going to be involved in the pass game. He's not going to have Ramondre Stevenson reception numbers.
I mean, Austin Eckler had 107 catches last year out of the backfield as a running back.
God, did he really?
He did.
That is a heck of a number right there. But so it's going to be, you know, ideally it's going to be spread around. The thing, you know, like, it's going to be spread around. You're going to have the backs involved. You think, like, we've talked about Wiley today. Get him some in there. Chig, I think, is going to take a big step up in his production. And honestly, if you told me right now Chig Okonkwo leads the team in receptions, I think that's possible. We'll see. But Burks is also a guy where you do want to throw some screens, some bubbles, whatever, some quick hitters, quick slants, get him the ball, and let him try to have a little bit of space and then make people have a real problem trying to tackle him in the open field. So that should up the catch numbers alone. He is, if everything works out, he's a guy who at all three levels can make plays for you, but certainly a quick game guy, right? So I think, and Kyle Phillips, is he available all year? He's going to take a chunk of catches too. If it all works out, and then you still get 70 catches from Treylon Burks, and you have that nice split with some other players, then it could be pretty good. And we haven't even mentioned DeAndre Hopkins' 88 catches that he's going to have for the Titans for 1,400 yards.
Well, he had 64 in 9 games last year. Just saying. 64 catches, 9 games.
That's a lot, man.
It's a lot of catches.
That's more than 7 a game per my quick math.
It is.
So probably targeted 9-10 times a game. Sure, he'd love that to continue
sure
wherever
he
goes.
Well, I mean, so you mentioned it. The 70-catch mark, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster had 78 last year. Amari Cooper had 78. Brandon Ayuk had 78. Mike Evans had 77. I mean, these are obviously good players in the league, and in some cases have established themselves certainly more than Treylon Burks has. But, I mean, like you said, Chris Olave, 72 catches. Drake London, 72 catches. Adam Thielen, who's not the player that he used to be, and played an offense with the guy who had the most catches last year, Justin Jefferson, who had 128. He had 70 catches last year. So it's not a, you know, just because so-and-so had this many catches, it's different offenses, all that. So it's not always an apples-to-apples comparison. But I do think with the Titans changing up their offense a little bit, but more than anything, your hope that he stays healthy and that he's improved significantly in year two. Like, I think if Treylon Burks has taken the proper steps and he is healthy and available and he's gotten better the way you want him to get better, I don't think 70 catches is asking for a whole lot when it comes to him. I think that's certainly attainable with Treylon Burks. So that's my number.
That's a good number. Rob says, y'all can't predict these catches without clarifying at if healthy before each one. Yes, we have not said if healthy enough today.
I think he should get it no matter what. If he plays two games, 70 is still the number.
You said two games?
30,
that's possible. It's not like it's impossible.
Exactly.
What is the single game record for catches? Do you know?
I don't.
I mean, someone's probably gotten to 20.
Right? Oh, yeah. I would have to think.
No way anybody's gotten to 30. No. Or probably even 25, right? That's a great question. You know, another, since we're going down the rabbit hole, I'm just throwing this out.
Brandon Marshall at 21.
That's the record. Receptions. Yep. Brandon Marshall. Okay. That's a heck of a day's work. By the way, as we go through these receiving numbers, I just want to point out A.J. Brown had 88 catches for 1,496 and 11 last year.
He did.
In a loaded offense.
He did. Now, he got, I say 70 should be attainable for Treylon Burks. A.J. Brown got 70 catches with the Titans one time. He got 52 his rookie year. He had 70 for 1,075 his next year. And the year after that, he had 63. Now, again, injuries were a part of that, but
yeah,
he reached 70 one time.
That's an availability thing. Right. So, yeah, while you have that up, remind me then, he played the full 16 once. Is that right?
He played the full 16 his rookie year, and that was it. He played 14 in 2020.
Yeah.
And he played 13 in 21.
And 14 is the year he had 70.
Correct.
Yeah. So again, it's like – Treylon Burks gets 70. That's probably because he played the whole season.
Yeah.
Even though this offense will change, it's not going to be – it's not transitioning to like 63-37 pass and Derrick Henry getting 9 carries. I mean,
well,
it's not quite going to
– Right. And how many targets like does he have? Like AJ had 106 targets the year that he caught 70 passes. He had 105 targets the next year. We had 63 passes in 13 games. You know, what kind of a target share – is Treylon Burks looking at? Because that's the other thing. Like, if they do get DeAndre Hopkins, I could see a scenario where maybe the targets decrease for Treylon Burks, but the big plays increase for Treylon Burks. So he could have, you know, 55 catches for 1,100 yards. You take that if you're the Titans.
Well, 100%. If that's what it is, absolutely. Because that's exactly what A.J. Brown was, especially as a rookie, right? Yeah. And if that means that other guys are getting higher volume, Phillips, Chig, whoever, and he can actually be a big play guy? Yeah. So unnamed texture here. Apparently D-Mace triggered some people. What are y'all thinking talking about performance wide receivers when you didn't play the position? Derek Mason is going to lose his bleep on you. And there's a whole string of is that what D-Mace said? If you didn't play,
I didn't hear it, but
if you didn't play receiver, you can't come on a receiver.
I didn't hear it, but I do not subscribe to
if
that
he
theory.
Did say that, yeah. I would say, D-Mace, do not comment on the steak that you got at the restaurant that is too cooked because you were not a
professional
cow
chef.
Or a chef. Yeah.
Either
or a cow.
Very good. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. By the way, I mean, Brandon Marshall was a really good player. Kind of surprises me that he's the lead, the NFL record.
Sometimes it's like that. It's like some rando, you know?
I would think, like, I mean, honestly, I would think Julio, DeAndre Hopkins would come to mind. Calvin Johnson would come to mind.
Although he was such a big play.
He was.
You know, specific guy. Well, who's the single game rushing leader? Isn't it like Corey Dillon or something?
Is it AP?
Well, I guess it is AP. Okay, that's right. That's right. It was – well, but it was – so it was Dillon. Dillon beat Peyton. Peyton had 275 forever. Yeah. Dillon beat him, but then Jerome Harrison. So Jerome Harrison held it for a while. Yeah. You know, I mean, then, you know, Jamal Lewis, Adrian Peterson, 295, 296. So
Adrian Peterson had 253 in the second half of that game. That's a heck of a half.
My God.
253 yards
okay.
in one half.
Now that is an NFL team quitting.
Yes, it is. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Friday morning. By the way, Barry Trotz, Predators general manager, will join Chase McCabe coming up at 10 o'clock. So looking forward to that.
Nice.
Barry Trotz talks a lot. I'm looking forward to it.
So Jared asked for him to ask him about big swings. What does a big swing mean?
He did.
And I hope Chase also asks about if he's going to trade UCSR.
Yes. Yes.
And just ask. I mean.
You going to do it?
You're not. There's no way you're going to get an answer on that if you don't try by asking.
That is true. So looking forward to that coming up at 10 o'clock. 615-737-1025. By the way, Jack from Nashville, very impressed with your Paul Kuharsky impression. Anytime I can get you to do that, I feel like it's a win on my boat. I love it. I like that. I like your Kuharsky impression better than your Stillman impression.
Do
That's
you?
Just me. Yeah.
Yeah, my Stillman is just kind of like, eh. It's not very, I mean, it's not I like very it good. Too. Yeah.
Still in the workshop.
Don't get me wrong.
The Kuharsky impression is very, it's, you know, it doesn't actually sound like him, which is why it's funny, I think. But it's also kind of rooted in Jerky Boys, if anybody knows that.
Help, I've got what's all over my.
But I won't finish the rest of the sentence.
That's good.
But that's basically how I've, what I've based my Kuharsky impersonation on. Thank you, Jack from Nashville, for recognizing talent and achievement.
Yes, that's what
high
it is.
High level. Yes. High level.
It's like you're the Racy McMath of impressions.
Yeah.
I was going to say Frank Caliendo, but I mean, oh, wow. Yeah.
We should have, yeah. Yeah, it's not quite that level. Rich Little. We should have like a annual, instead of like, we have like a Christmas party, we should do like a, like the Chiefs did with the ring ceremony and have like
just
a Emmys.
Red carpet.
Yeah, yeah, it will have the velvet rope
we'll
and
the rope.
Stanchion.
It'll all
See?
Be there. Yeah.
There
I
goes.
Think you're onto something here.
It all comes together. It all ties together, if you think about it.
Discussing Treylon Burks and the Titans wide receiver room, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So 70 catches is the number that I've landed on. We'll see what happens there. Obviously, to your point, he's going to have to stay healthy there. But this is a big year from him. Obviously, from a standpoint of they need him. Like that, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine a Titans offense being any good if he's not going to be a big part of it this year. I do wonder on the Hopkins front, you know, I think Hopkins would be more the volume guy, and Treylon Burks would probably be more the big play guy after that, which I think is fine if you're the Titans there. So the Hopkins, if they get Hopkins, I guess my number would probably change a little bit. But right now, based on the way their offense is today, like I think 70 is going to be a necessity for him. I mean, they need him to stay healthy, but 70 is going to be a necessity for him just because I look around and don't know where the big plays are going to come from if it's not going to be him. I am interested to see Kyle Phillips. Like, what does he actually look like in extended time on the field? And he's intriguing to me. But it's really Burks in that receiving room right now to me, and that's what it's going to have to be.
But, yeah, to the point of your question and your number there, yeah, I would adjust the catch number as with Hopkins in the offense, but that could be a good thing.
Could be.
Get a little bit more bang for your buck on some of those catches, I think, if you have Hopkins on the other side.
Well, I mean, how much attention does Hopkins still draw? I mean, some of that's going to be determined by what he still has left, but especially early on, defense is going to pay attention to DeAndre Hopkins over there for sure. So, I mean, we talked about the first part of the Titans schedule and how difficult it is, and you're starting off on the road in New Orleans, and those first 7 weeks before you get to London and Baltimore, like surviving that part of the schedule. I mean, you would need, like, if Hopkins is coming in, an opportunity there for Burks to shine if that happens. And hopefully, I mean, we barely saw A.J. and Julio on the field together at the same time. Hopefully you'd see those two on the field together a little bit more, and we could see maybe that unlocks Treylon Burks. But, I think even if they don't get Hopkins, you drafted him in the first round. You traded A.J. Brown away to go get him. I know it's a new general manager now and all that stuff. But obviously, they saw something in Treylon Burks. And I saw enough from him last year to be encouraged by what he could be. So if he's improved and done everything that it looks like he's done this offseason, I think there's a chance that he could be a pretty good weapon for them this year. Maybe not A.J. Brown.
I was just going to say, is any more explosive than A.J. Brown per some?
Well, I've heard that. I've heard that. I mean, if that's the case, then they're going to be in good shape.
Yeah. No, I think Treylon Burks has a lot of talent. Absolutely. And, yeah, look, the Green Bay game, the touchdown against Philly, other points later in the season, and certainly now the shape he's in, the confidence he seems to be playing with, I think he has a chance to be a good player. It's just, you know, you just have to – at some point – like, he'll always be tied to A.J. Brown, and yes. I get that. Like, it's inevitable. I mean, the trade was made, and he was their answer. But at some point, you also have to let him just sort of have his own career and not worry about it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm past that at this point. I mean, we've talked about it 1,000 times. It was a terrible trade. We all understand that. But, I mean, at this point, it's about what Burks can do for you moving forward. And, I mean, I do wonder, like, if he's peak level this year, he stays healthy, what is he? I mean, I don't think we really found that out last year. I mean, I think we found out enough to realize that he could be pretty good and he can make some plays down the field, and he did that. I mean, the Green Bay game always comes up. He made another huge play down the field in the Jacksonville game at home. But it was few and far between. I mean, getting knocked out in the Philly game last year. There's nothing to do about that. It just – I don't think we saw enough last year to really know what he is.
Well, and if you want to go with the A.J. Brown comparison, I'd say the first month of A.J. Brown's career showed us more than we've seen so far from Treylon Burks.
Oh, I would agree.
Shoot, the first game, you know, you saw – I mean, he took a – what do you go, 56 yards for a touchdown yep. right away from Marcus. Good pass by Marcus, by the way. Right on target. Let him.
He's probably behind
let
him.
Let him into the – find the video of that. So, yeah, it's like you just
– he's aiming for Corey Davis. Sorry, Marcus.
Poor Marcus.
I wish him a lot
Where
of success.
Where is he again? He's in Philly. Yes.
You ought to know. I mean, you why should have your jersey pre-ordered. What are you talking about?
Why do I keep,
Where is he?
Why do I keep forgetting this? I'm excited to see a little bit of, you know, a little bit of Marcus here and there. And they're going to bust out the throwback Kelly Greens, too.
Yeah.
Which they never should have moved off of anyway.
I can already see the championship parade next year of A.J. Brown, arm wrapped around Marcus Mariota, holding the Lombardi Trophy, just like we all envisioned back in 2019.
I mean, it could very well happen, buddy.
Very well could. They're very good.
What a wild parade that'll be, Marcus. You know, be like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Just getting after it.
You know, Netflix is coming out with this new quarterback series documentary yeah. this summer, and Marcus is in there. I'm looking forward to it.
Marcus and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mahomes. It's an interesting combo that they got in there.
That is. That's sort of – it's the great quarterback, the good quarterback, and the pseudo-bust who's trying to hang on the league quarterback, right? Yeah.
There's one more in there. Isn't there somebody else in there?
No. Yeah.
Is that those three?
Kirk Cousins.
Brandon says no. Brandon says three.
Okay,
he says three. We could probably look it up on Google somewhere, but hey, yeah. Whatever.
I'm going to check Brandon's work here before the weekends.
Because I remember it was Kirk Cousins,
Tannehill didn't make the list.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Sucks.
Sorry, I'm Googling.
I wonder if the Netflix people are like the rest of the league and they just forget that Ryan Tannehill exists, like the Sunday Night Football people that were going through the quarterback list. They're like, yeah, Will Levis, he's the quarterback.
God. No, yeah, it is those three. It's those three guys. Good job, Brandon. I'm excited for the Cousins aspect of this.
I have too. I've already seen like a clip from it, and it's basically like, you know, people always tell me to come out of my shell, and then every time I come out of my shell, it's like a big deal. So I just don't.
He's the best, man. He's such a dork, but he's just so great. And he's a really good player, by the way. You know, Charles and I were actually texting yesterday because, in fact, I should find this. I don't even know. Did Cousins come up yesterday? Were we talking to Charles?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I don't know how it came up, but Charles started making his Charles started making his case for the Hall of Fame, and you know what? Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Remember how Charles kind of took a shot at Warren Sharp yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Elon, now you can't read the tweets and your texts, and it's very annoying. Thanks a lot, Elon. Again, thanks part a million for Elon. So Warren Sharp put out this in April, like, you know, the Cousins contracts, you know, career, $231 million, all that stuff, blah, 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 you know. And then Charles kind of went after him. Like, basically, like, first of all, he played on the tag two of those years, right? And so it was a comparison of Cousins and Lamar Jackson. That's what it was, right? So anyway, then Charles started texting me about his case for Cousins to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, boy.
But the thing is, he's going to be top 15 all time, like, in yardage, TDs, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
When he's done. Yeah. I'm not saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. But he will be the only quarterback at that stat level right. Who won't be. It's kind of like there's a Phillip Rivers aspect to his career, right?
Well,
you got to do more in the postseason. But he did go beat Drew Brees on the road with a touchdown the last play of the game, by the way, that people conveniently forget.
Jeez.
What, did that not happen? Isn't Drew Brees, oh, the Saints are going to win it all. Yeah. Cousins went in and beat him.
He's won one playoff game. We're talking about the Hall of Fame.
Sure. I'm not saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. But – what you just said, I'm going to go through some of the other quarterbacks.
There are
quarterbacks who didn't do
Andy much. Dalton is in the top 25 all-time in passing yards. We're just going to have to accept that some of those benchmarks that we've talked about for a long time don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, well, they don't mean nothing, but they do mean less. You're absolutely right. They mean less.
I'm trying to find
I mean, Stafford right now is, you know, he's 12th
right.
in touchdowns and – you know, but the thing is, Stafford, which we had a hot debate last week, he's 11th in yardage, 12th in touchdowns. He has a Super Bowl ring, too. Is he going to get in?
I don't know. It's going to be close.
Guy thought he still had to, like, stack a little bit more after it. He may be done now.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex. You can go into the weekend with Joe's thoughts on Kirk Cousins going into the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Famer.
We'll be back on Monday. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.